We are on week 5 of Arise, My Soul, and Pray, a study in Psalm 119, and tonight I wanted to start by doing some trivia. How many of you like trivia? How about Bible trivia? I did quiz Mark before we came. I love to do that when I see these. Stump the pastor. And I did stump him, so I'm excited to see if anyone knows. Okay, there are 3 questions. Welcome. All right, so our first trivia question. Of all the books in the Bible, in which does the word comfort or comforts comforted appear most frequently?
Psalm 119.
Incorrect.
Is it book or chapter?
Book.
What page are we on?
Janet says Isaiah. And she is correct. You may now tell Mark that you beat him. So the word comfort, comforts, or comforted appears in Isaiah 17 times. And we will say the original language, because you may count differently in your ESV or NASB or KJV, whatever it may be. All right, second question. 3 other books mention comfort at least 9 times. Any idea which books? Psalms is correct. Not Proverbs, not Revelation. Correct. 2 Corinthians was actually Mark's first guess. And there is 1 other book. And you will be so glad to know this. Who needed comfort?
Job.
That's right. That's right. So we know the primary book 17 times was Isaiah, and at least 9 times Psalms, Job, and 2 Corinthians. Last question. In the book of Psalms, 1 psalm mentions comfort more than any other. Which psalm mentions comfort the most?
119.
It had to. It's got 176 verses. So yes, the psalm we are currently studying. And so this week our lesson is entitled Finding Comfort. And given all that is going on in our lives and in the world, and she wrote this a decade ago, I think this lesson is very needed. So if you will open your workbooks to page 41, just want to read some of the sweet truths she starts this chapter with. Laura, do you mind reading the quote from Octavius Winslow for us?
What can we know of the promises? The succorings. How do you say it?
Succorings.
The sympathy of God's word. Its perfect adaptation to the crushed and sorrowful condition of our humanity. But for trial? Thus more than one half of the Bible is a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Until the Lord lays sorrow upon our hearts and brings us into circumstances of adversity. Then this garden unveils its beauty, and this spring pours forth its refreshment, and this fountain overflows with its rich and varied supply. Oh, with what power, depth, and sweetness does the word of God unfold to us then.
So according to Octavius Winslow, what is he saying here about the place in our lives where we need comfort?
When there's sorrow.
Uh-huh. So what's he saying about that?
You don't really know comfort until you know sorrow.
There you go. Yep. You don't really know comfort until you have gone through trial or sorrow. And obviously this isn't God saying this, but he says one half of the Bible is a garden enclosed. And I think, have I ever been in that garden? When I think of the sorrows of others that I see around me, am I in that garden? I can think of several in our church and people that we know that most assuredly are in the garden of trial and sorrow and circumstances of adversity. And seeing those aspects of God that we don't really know until we are really forced to cling to him for our comforts. And that is found in his word to us. His law, his commandments, his testimonies, his righteous rules, all of those words that we've been learning that describe his word for us. So this is the source of our comfort. And I love the paragraph there that she talks about. This word brings us comfort, but this word spoken through preachers, sung through song, spoken to us by friends, prayed together. The way that the Lord uses all those situations to just surround us with his comfort, with his truth, there's so many different ways that he brings it to us. And so in the second paragraph there that starts, as believers, says, as believers, we share the comfort with which we have been comforted. We share it in writing, in conversation, in little comments we make, in our faithfulness to ministry, and by the way we live our lives. This week, I hope you are looking forward to being a recipient of the comfort by which God comforted the author of Psalm 119. I also believe that is true for you. As you go through trials, you realize, I now have some little hooks that I can hang things on in my life that I can share with other people of how to go through this trial or how to be comforted in this situation. And that's how the Lord uses us to build one another up, spur one another on to love and good deeds, to sharpen one another. So 2 Corinthians, you heard, is one of the books that has the word comfort used the most. And most of those words are here in this passage on the bottom of the page. And I would like us to read it together if we could. So on page 41, we'll read the reference and then we'll start. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. It's encouraging, isn't it? So when you think of, I need comfort from the word, yes, run to Psalm 119, but don't forget this passage here as well in 2 Corinthians, in how we can use our trials and what we learn from them to encourage others also. So before we kick off into any of the lesson, I want to give you some, teaching, instruction, information on different kinds of comfort. You might just want to jot this somewhere. Our chart today will not be overly long, but so maybe on the bottom of your page, what's the page number you guys find that's blank? 50. So if you want to look at page 50 and maybe jot down some of these things, if you want, you don't have to, it's not required. I'm going to explain three kinds of comfort before we go through the questions. So, it's important to keep in mind there are three different types of comfort: natural comfort, sinful comfort, and spiritual comfort. So, again, this is not part of the chart, it's just some extra bonus info. Natural comfort, sinful comfort, and spiritual comfort. And I'll explain that to you. Natural comfort is the refreshment of our natural spirits by the good creatures of God, the gifts of his bounty. Things that would fall into this category of natural comfort would be clothes to warm us or cool us. Food to satisfy our physical hunger. That is natural comfort. This kind of comfort would also include colors which give pleasure to the eyes, sounds of voices and instruments, tastes. Those of us who have lost our taste for some particular reason this year might realize what a comfort that is. For some of us, These natural comforts would include air conditioning. Mm-hmm. We are very thankful for that comfort that was not around over 100 years ago. So, Acts 14:17, if you want to write down a verse to look up, I'm not going to read them. We do not have time. But Acts 14:17, Ecclesiastes 3:9-13 are some of the verses that describe natural comfort. 9-13. All right, so sinful comfort. I know we all battle this. Sinful comfort is the pleasure sinners take in gratifying their lusts. And since I know all of us are sinners, we are tempted to this. Sinful comfort is the pleasure sinners take in gratifying their lusts, or the delight some take in abusing good gifts of God. A verse for this would be Hebrews 11:25 and Proverbs 10:23. But Hebrews 11:25 describes these comforts as being pleasurable indeed, but only for a season. These comforts would include things like sexual sin, gluttony. Have you ever talked about ever heard about emotional eating? You know, I just felt terrible, so I ate the whole package of Oreos. That's this, fulfilling a lust to find comfort. Shoplifting, or how about just shopping? People shop for comfort. What do they call it? Retail therapy, right? What?
Shopaholics.
Shopaholics, that's right. Sinful fantasies. Hypocritical self-righteousness, etc. That is sinful comfort. Some people find comfort in making other people feel bad or look bad, etc. All right, now we're on to the better one, the good one. Spiritual comfort. Completely different from all other comforts is spiritual comfort. It is an inward solace or satisfaction. So an inward satisfaction which supports, strengthens, and exhilarates holy souls. I'll say that again. It is the inward satisfaction which supports, strengthens, and exhilarates holy souls. And it is found in and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is found in and from the Lord Jesus. So how do you go about getting spiritual comfort? Sure, you can read, but does that always work? Several weeks ago, we talked about if reading isn't doing it, singing it. If singing isn't doing it, memorizing it. Like, you keep pressing that door. You keep finding the ways to find spiritual comfort. And any of the ways are good as long as they are exercised in faith, hope, love, and other graces. So I want spiritual comfort, so I am reading the Word, I am seeking to be built up in my faith, I am looking for hope and God's promises, I am practicing love for God and others instead of myself. So those are some of the graces of the Holy Spirit. You can write down Romans 5:1-5. Spiritual comfort is a spiritual delight which cheers and invigorates. That's what we want when we're low, right? Like, you're downtrodden, filled with struggle and anxiety and affliction. You want and need to be cheered and invigorated. So spiritual comfort cheers and invigorates the hearts of believers under all their inward and outward troubles. This is how Paul can sing in prison. So John MacArthur can say, if I end up in prison, I know what I need to do. Not sit in the cell and feel sorry for himself. No, there's a plan, right? So no matter what trial might come our way, inward or outward, spiritual comfort should cheer and invigorate. Puritan pastor Thomas Manton from the 1600s defines a spiritual comfort or God's comfort as The strengthening of the heart against evil. So the strengthening of the heart against evil. A believer lacking joy is a not right, right? We are to find joy through our trials. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy when you endure various trials. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials around you. Instead, he desires for believers to have a cheer that doesn't always mean a smile, but it's a trust in the Lord, right? It's faith in what you cannot see or understand. It's knowing God has those 10,000 plans and you only know a few of them. So it's faith confirmed, it's love to God increased, and it's hope made more lively. Do you have hope? We studied that all last fall. There is no hope in studying depression and our feelings. There is hope in learning about God and focusing on Him. So our true spiritual comfort is found in the strengthening of the heart against evil, when either faith is confirmed, love to God is increased, and hope is made more lively. It's encouraging, right? There's some practical things for you to grab onto and walk away with tonight. In all of this, it's important to understand that spiritual comfort presupposes, all right? We are before knowing, presupposing the existence of a relationship with God. An unbeliever cannot have spiritual comfort. In other words, God's comfort is a special gift of grace, only available to the people of God. You could jot down Luke 2:25, Philippians 2, 1 through 2, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17. I had prepared for us to read those, but we will not because of our time. But look those up. Put them there with that information that you just wrote down, and let it be there for you the next time you find yourself in large need of comfort. All right, so I noticed some of you writing the chart down already. If you haven't, you should probably do that now. Tonight we're going to talk about in life's affliction. We have two sides. What are some comforting truths, and what are our emergency measures? From everything I just poured out at you, I want you to write one or two things right here yourself. What are one or two things I just conveyed to you that is a comforting truth? We can't go a night without some kind of digital problem. So I had hoped to be able to write this chart live for you, and my adapter didn't want to work. So this chart will be completely filled in by you tonight, because I had planned to write it in based on your answers and not just the ones I normally have. So as we go throughout the night, something is like a little light bulb for you. I want you to write it. Just go ahead and go to your chart and fill it in yourself. Okay, maybe some of you do that already. But just know I'm never going to fill this chart in. We'll try to talk about it, but you keep filling it in when you hear something that is a comforting truth for you in your life and your situations. But to move on, we are going to read through our scripture now. Man, I kind of wish we actually had a 14-week lesson like last fall, because it's really hard to have 6 stanzas this week. But they're grouped pretty well. On the top of page 42, you could just like write across the top a summary of those three octets. Comfort in, and then we have remembrance, promises, and goodness. That's those three stanzas summarized. Comfort in remembrance, promises, and goodness. How many of you like when I tell you the groupings of the verses within the octets? Okay, it's less than half. Because I was telling Mark, I'm like, I really want to do this, but I don't want to just do it if I want to. I'll just do it briefly then. In Zion, there are three sections. It is 49 and 50 are one, if you do the little triangle like this around the verses. So 49 and 50, 51 through 53, and then 54 through 56. Those are groupings within Zion. 49 and 50 are one group, and then you have the next three and the next three. Is that easy? So this octet focuses on remembrance and how remembering can bring you hope and comfort. So amidst your tough trials, remembrance provides the right spiritual perspective. So let's read it, and then we'll move on to hate. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Key verse there. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. See that remembrance there? Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs. In the house of my pilgrimage, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. So we see his remembrance of, we see God's remembrance, we see remembering the word of God, and we see remembering the God of the word. I love this. Okay, so hate has three moods, basically. There's going to be three sections again. Undergirding promises, like I told you, promises and prayers. So here are the three sections. They're different. 57 through 60, so that's four verses. 57 through 60 are one chunk. And then you have two and two. 61 and 62 are together, 63 and 64 are together. So I'm going to read it for you. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Do you find it interesting there in that last verse that after he talks about all this wickedness around, he says the earth is full of your mercy? How can he say that? What kind of perspective?
Well, the people are allowed, still doing what they're doing. They haven't been destroyed.
Uh huh.
That's mercy.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes, whenever the Lord doesn't instantly incinerate any one of us, it is a mercy. Very good point. So, yeah, it's a overarching perspective. Thank you. I was like, overarching perspective. It's like a macro picture of all of God's creation. God has a plan. He is exhibiting mercy to every one of us. The fact that we're together in this room because we claim Christ. What a mercy. And so it is an overarching idea there that the earth is full of God's mercy. Evil is going on, but we have the end of the story right here, right? So that's also a reminder. So this was three moods undergirding promises and petitions. Tate, the next octet there. This is also three pictures of divine goodness. Three pictures of divine goodness. But it's painted on a dark canvas, right, of human distress. So, in our trials and afflictions, we must see these aspects of God's goodness. I'll start reading. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Yeah, I just realized I hadn't. So this one is broken down 3-3-2. So 65 to 67, that's the past restoration. 68 to 70, that's the present preservation. And 71 and 72 are grouped. Continued edification. Now, I want you to put a box or a circle around verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I want to issue a challenge to all of you tonight. When we pray, we talk about praying in the Acts format where we are adoring and we're confessing and we're thanking and we're making supplication. And hopefully, if that's new to you, you're able to practice that a bit and trying to hit on all those things. I would love it if every one of us used that line as our adoration to God tonight, because we need to remember it when it looks like the sky is falling. You are good and do good. Isn't that what Job said after he was corrected as well? What was I saying? You are good and you do good. Let's make that a constant prayer of Scripture. Say that to God all the time, and your heart and soul and feelings will be convinced, because it is truth, and the Spirit within you will grab onto that. And how helpful it would be to say these scriptures to ourselves. Self, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So when someone is driving poorly on the freeway, and that seems to be your trial today, God, you are good and do good. When it's the death of a loved one, illness, needing a visa and you can't get out of a country, whatever it may be that is your affliction, remember, you are good and do good. And notice it comes right after verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Does that mean every trial is a consequence for your sin? No. But is it sometimes?
Yes.
Yes. How do you know? Look. No, but I mean, sometimes Job was righteous and upright. His was not a consequence for being wicked. Sometimes God brings us trials to grow us and sharpen us, right?
To teach us.
So we may not know, is this a consequence or is this simply a teaching opportunity? Either way, it's a great opportunity to practice being righteous, to responding well in the trial. And do seek, Lord, if there is sin within me, show me. But as we go through trials, we should come out the other side not going astray. Right? How many believers do you know who once loved God, a big trial comes, and now they curse God? Maybe they weren't a believer, or maybe they're led astray. Maybe they're deceived, and they don't understand that God is good, and he does good. Also in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I know we've talked about this before. How many of you learn lessons when everything's lovely in your life? How diligent are you in your prayer life, in your petitions, in your reading? Are you just as diligent in the word and prayer and talking to your friends about what's going on in your life when things are easy? It's when things are challenging. We need to remember as well. Box this one. Memorize this one. Tattoo it on your forehead. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. treasure God's word. Remember, Proverbs says his truth and his treasures are like hidden treasures, and we find them. He could have made it easy. God could have written a systematic Bible. It could have been all in order and real easy peasy and topical. He didn't make it quite that easy for you, did he? He wants you to want to seek after it as hidden treasure and value it as more than gold and silver. Okay, we'll take a break from walking through the text and look at page 43. So this was the first page of your study, and you looked through all six octets and marked comfort and affliction. I actually thought when I saw that assignment there was going to be a whole lot more. I was like, oh. But then as I looked at the outlines and I realized, we don't need a whole lot more. There is still plenty here. We see that the affliction for the psalmist was the proud and arrogant were around doing wicked things. The cords of the wicked were binding him. He's being persecuted. The wicked have waited for him. How many of you find that your trials that you need comfort in have to do with wicked people literally in your life? Okay, a few of you. So this might, when you read this, feel a little disconnected if you don't have a wicked person literally in your life drilling at you, so to speak. So be careful not to just swipe it off. You know, this was the situation with him, and he needed comfort in it. Ours just might look a little bit different. So you just need to insert what you're struggling with and still mind the truth out of it. As well, it says he had indignation taking hold of him. He has a past history of failing to follow God's ways. His troubles have lasted a long time. He is weak, depressed, and dried up. So, how many of you identify with those four right there?
The past history one.
As a group, how many of you think you struggle with, I have a history of failing, my trials seem to last a long time, I get weak, depressed, and dried up? Anybody? Okay, I knew it was more of you. You guys were hiding your hands from me. Okay, so let's summarize there the chart at the bottom. Finding true comfort. Basically, summarizingly, is that a word? Where does true comfort come from? God and his word. That's right. Who receives it? Okay, what did you say? Someone over here.
God's servant.
God's servant, I heard. Okay, I was like, what? And then you said God's children?
The psalmist.
The
psalm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what I want you to write in big letters. Me. Just write it in big letters. It comes... Where does true comfort come from? The word of God, God himself. Who can receive it? You, ladies, me, us. Other insights. Verse 50, it does what? Life. It gives you life. Not just biological birth, not just the new birth, but it breathes life into your daily walk, your every hour, your prayer life. Your comfort. Bring life. Bring your comfort to life. All right. 52. What other insights? By God. He's preaching to himself. What'd you say, Sue?
Remembering.
You have to go after it.
What's that?
You have to go after it.
You have to seek after it? Yeah. Look for it. Remember, we talked about remembering in the verses on the previous page. So we could say God's true comfort is from old. In other words, it is enduring. It's not going to quit on you. It's not going to run out. She didn't get it all and you didn't get any. It's not how it works. It's enduring. And then anything from 76 or 82?
In his timing.
In his timing?
God is merciful.
He is. Anything else? Yep, and I added, I need to wear my eyes out for it. Right? Seek for it. Look for it. Petition for it. We need to be persistent. Yes.
One of the things I would just say that I have really appreciated about this church is the emphasis on sharing testimonies with each other. Because you don't always get to know everybody in the church, but hearing public testimonies at baptisms or special events is very consistent with this chapter of recalling God's past faithfulness. Because it does encourage not just yourself to recall God's faithfulness to you, but encourages others.
Yeah. So God gave us the example in the Old Testament of stones of remembrance, and they would leave piles of rocks to remind them. And he calls us to remember and remind each other as well. I remember when I was young, all I ever did at testimonies was compare mine. It's like, oh, you know, grew up in the church. Okay, is God any less merciful? No. Did he protect me? Yes. But that's not the story he writes for every one of us. So we are encouraged, and we hear things in people's testimonies that rejoice our heart, that warn us, that show us, wow, that's what God did in their life. He didn't take me down that path. That's interesting. God's doing 10,000 things in my life and 10,000 things in their life. It's neat to see some of them. Sue?
I'm just going to say in the Old Testament, it goes over and over where talks about the whole story of God bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them, you know, to the promised land. And it's not just told once and, you know, reiterated over and over.
And they celebrated it every year, too.
Yeah, it's like, remember everything the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Like you were saying before about, you know, hey, well, life is good. You know, you're not thinking about it.
You're not thinking about it as much. Yeah, honestly, we should have a church anniversary party every year to recount God's faithfulness to saving grace every year. That would be fantastic. okay, so on page 44, right away, we have the next three octets. So let's go ahead and walk through those. So this one, Yod, is very interesting. Your Vs are going to look very different. So what you might want to do is start with a V, and I'm just like connecting. I hope you're all following me on that because I can't do it up here. 76 and 77, right in the middle, are together. And then you go one up and one down, and they're together. It's like concentric circles. Okay? So really, the first is connected to the last. The second, 74, is connected to 79. 75 is connected to 78. It goes like, so the two middle ones, and then the two out from that, and then the two out from that, and then the top and the bottom. Concentric circles. This is not the first place I've seen this in the scripture. This happens in Proverbs a lot. And so it's neat that we have those who can study these original languages and recognize these patterns. So these are called, this one would you could call four concentric circles of prayer requests based on chronic affliction. Four concentric circles, or Vs, of prayer requests based on chronic affliction. I'll read it from the top, though. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Actually, I'm going to read them in the pairs. Change my mind. So I'm going to read 73 and 80 together. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Now I'm going to read 74 and 79. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Look at our example to others. Okay, 75 and 78. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. And then the two together in the middle, 76 and 77. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Label 76 and 77, our greatest needs. There's our greatest needs. God's merciful kindness, his comfort, his word, his tender mercy, our life, his law to be our delight. That is our greatest needs, my friend. Verses 73 and 80, the top and bottom, are a desire for deeper maturity. Verses 74 and 79 are a concern for other believers. And 75 and 78 are exposure to trials. So that one's kind of fun because it's really different. It's laid out very differently than the others.
What was the last one again?
Exposure to trials. In faithfulness, he has afflicted us. He purposefully exposes us to trials. And he only does what's good and for our good and for his glory. So we remind ourselves, you are good and do good, right? Okay, Kaf only has two sections, making it easier for you this time. Four and four. The top four you would call theological, and the bottom four you could label sociological. So, God-focused, mankind-focused. This section, Kaf, is a crescendo of lament. A crescendo of lament.
What are the last
four? Sociological. And when we are in the place of lament, it should drive our dependence, and it should drive us to persevere. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? So he's talking to God. That's his lament. Now he's going to comment on society. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful, but they persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. The wineskin was like a animal stomach, most likely, that they would carry water in. And they would hang it up in the tent, and then the smoke of the fire would dry it out over time. Okay, and the last octet for today, Lamed. We have 3 and then 5. So 89 to 91 is one grouping, and 92 to 96 is a grouping. The top three, stability of God and his revelation. Stability of God and his revelation. And the bottom five is sufficiency of God's special revelation, which is the Bible, special revelation. The sufficiency of God's special revelation. And so this whole octet you could call two consistencies upon which the child of God may always depend. Or just write security. Two consistencies on which the child of God may always depend. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Amen. We can go home. Okay. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. All right, we've got Genesis right there. That must be the foundation, right? We must believe that God is the stability, that he formed everything and has revealed it to us in nature. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. This is the sufficiency of God's word. So if you want to write a title at the top of this page, it is the compassion and comfort through prayer. Compassion and comfort through prayer. And lament and dependence. So the first section, prayer, the middle one, lament, the bottom one, dependence, right? The compassion and comfort through prayer, lament, and dependence. And a little bonus, compassion and comfort, you could label, little parentheses maybe, tender mercies. So when you see the words tender mercies in the scripture or you sing them in a song, think compassion and comfort, tender mercies. That is God's tender care for us, his compassion, the comfort he offers us. All right. Now we got to fly. So continue to add to your comforting truths side over here. You have to do your own work tonight. So in verse 75, this is page 45, we learn that the ungodly are not the only ones who afflict us, but God does as well. And I love there in the middle, it says, this might distress us, and rightfully so, unless we know and embrace the rest of the story. Circle know and embrace. Have you heard it said, it's not enough to just know something? You must walk it out, right? So you could know the whole Bible. You could memorize Psalm 119. But if you don't actually cherish his word, you're not embracing it. So there's the knowing that's knowledge, and there's the knowing that's doing. God's word always talks about knowing as doing. If you love me, oh, I love God. Okay, well, do you obey his commandments? Okay, then you probably don't love him, the word says. So in the Bible, knowing and embracing is together. It's the same thing. It's the actual doing. So it might distress us to know that God sends us trials, but we need to study his word and understand what he's doing. When God afflicts his people, why he does it? He gives hope. He turns us from being astray. He teaches us what we need to learn. He shows us his faithfulness, his steadfast love, his promises. Those were just some things I picked out of the first column. Why he does it. So he has a very purposeful reason. What we can know from these verses of scripture, we can know that God does send trials. We can know that sometimes it's a consequence for sin. We can know that it's always for good. Anyone know a verse about that? Reference? Romans 8:28. For believers, right? He's working all things for good to those who are the called according to his purposes. So it is good. He tells us we must believe it. And if we know it, that means we're embracing it. That means we're living it out. What he provides. Popcorn these out for me from your last column there. What does God provide? What'd you say? The Bible?
Revival.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, ladies. Salvation? Is that what you said? Okay, thank you.
Preservation.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Comfort. Mm-hmm. He provides learning or teaching, somebody said. Hope. From his word. His word should give you hope. It should bring delight. How can one find joy in a trial? How can one find joy in knowing that the God of the universe is purposefully afflicting? Because he is good. And he does good. So we must believe that in faith. And that is believing in what we cannot see and being certain of it. So do you have faith? If you don't believe that, then we go back a step. Do I have faith? Am I a believer? I should find comfort in that. God's word says I should find comfort if those things are true. So let's look at the bottom of page 45. In times of affliction, from Psalm 119, we can know that the Lord is our portion. The Lord's judgments are
righteous.
The earth is full of his
mercy.
Here's our new favorite, right? He is good and does good. The Lord's hands have made and fashioned us. Is he going to abandon us now? No way. The Lord revives according to his. He is Lord and his word is forever settled in. That's like the gavel. Settled. This is the trial. This is the comfort. This is how she'll learn through it. This is how I'll get glory. The tapestry is being made, and it's a beautiful picture. We're just seeing the back of it, right? Oh, Lord, I failed there. Yeah, but you're growing. Yeah, but you're learning. Yeah, but you're learning to grab on the truth. You're learning to preach to yourself. Okay, they're in F. His blank endures to all generations. All of us are his. And all the world, I believe that verse was saying, is his servant. Even the rocks will cry out, right? Even the wind and the waves obey him. He has given us. We are his. And he saves us. So, ladies, we should persevere with hope. My phone here is going fast. So I am going to give you some of the emergency measures here. And I'm sorry, the font is really small. Emergency measures. Remember what you know. And we're about to talk about the next part. Use the, coordinating conjunction? Use the word but to turn thoughts to truth. This is true. This is going on in my life. But God said this. But I know this to be true. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But this is what I wanted to make sure we got down right now, which was to persist and to practice and to persevere. We need to persist, practice, and persevere with hope. We need to recall scripture, listen to scripture, hear scripture. I mean, this is basically on our list like every week, isn't it? We need the word of God. Psalm 119, 176 verses, 173. Use the word of God. Talk about scripture. There's many words we've learned that mean the scripture. So I think it might be important if it's said 173 times. We need to recall, listen to, hear scripture. And, the theme of our study. We need to pray. It should be an emergency measure. And then it should become a regular measure, right? It should be a pray without ceasing measure. But in the meantime, remember what you know. Use the word but, which we're about to talk about, to turn thoughts to truth. Persist, practice, persevere. Recall and listen and hear scripture and pray. Oh, there's another one. Trust that God will work it for good. We're just going to fill it all in at once. Trust that God will work it for good. Keep your eyes on things above. What's that reference? Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Here's another one. Ask for help and encouragement from other believers. If we never know the trials and afflictions in your life, that is your loss, right? How can I share comfort with which I have been comforted if I don't know what you need comfort in? If I try to be strong and act like my life is okay, And I just say, fine. Anytime one of my sisters here asks what's going on, I am losing out. That doesn't mean you need to go sharing all the dirty closet stuff, right, in the hallways. But you find a friend who listens with comfort and wounds faithfully and helps remind you of Scripture and does these things with you. You find someone doing these things that you can find comfort with and pour out to. And it means you have to start by making relationships with other people. This group of sisters here is a gift of God to you. We are gifts to one another. So unwrap your presents. There's a lot of beautiful faces out here. Ask for help and encouragement from other believers, your sisters, and who else?
God.
Yes, but what other people? Your husband. If you're married, yes. Who else? They have offices.
Elders.
Elders. That's right. God has given them wisdom. He's told them to shepherd you. How can they help shepherd you if they don't know what's going on with you? They're not clairvoyant. You're going to have to tell them. And, oh, there it is. Accept help and support from others.
Aww.
Aww. Ask for it and then be humble and accept it. That means when someone drops by your house to bring a meal, you don't worry about what's everywhere. You don't shoo them out the door. Unthankfully, you accept help and support from others. When someone says, I want to da 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 for you, your answer is?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you. Okay. That's all. Those are all bonus points tonight. Before the phone dies. Okay. Has anyone added anything to their comforting truths column?
He is good and does good.
Amen. Anything else?
He's always the same.
He's always the same and enduring. Just double checking it's still on. Yeah, it's just me. I'm getting all excited up here.
We have an inheritance.
We have an inheritance.
Comfort strengthens.
His comfort strengthens.
We know the end of the story.
We do. We know the end of the story, and we studied it in the spring. If you were here, don't forget. Remember? Remember to remember. Don't let this world distract you and drag you down. Don't let the news pull at your joy. We know the end of the story. We know that he is allowing everything that's happening for his glory, for our good, for our children's good. I think one of the most encouraging things I heard at the G3 conference was people saying, don't you feel bad? To John MacArthur, don't you feel bad your grandchildren are going to grow up in this world? And he said, no, they were born for such a time as this. Oh, I get chills. Because that's not what I've been thinking. I've been thinking, yeah, it's pretty bad. What's it going to look like for my kids? No, wrong thought. Thank you, John. Our children are being born for such a time as this. And may we women be faithful to pour this truth into the next generation that they may be strong. Another aside. Okay. We got 15 minutes. Top of page 46. Big point right here, so let's hit it. In the midst of affliction, how do we walk faithfully? That's what we want, right? When we fail, we kick ourselves. God, I failed you again. I want to be faithful. Of course, remembering comforting truths is an essential step. But if we look closely, we can also learn something else from the psalmist. Use the word but and use it often. Why? Because we have a natural tendency to focus on distressing circumstances. Anyone been distressed by the news in the last 2 years? Anyone freak out when you know a hurricane's coming to Florida? Okay? We have a natural tendency to focus on distressing circumstances, and if we allow such thoughts to dominate, we will find comfort elusive, because there is no comfort in affliction, it says in bold print. Remember last fall when we studied hope? It said, there is no hope in studying depression. There is only hope found in studying your God. similar point here. On the other hand, when we use the word but to turn from thoughts of trouble to thoughts of truth, divine comfort is close at hand. So you were to add on to the list here from our octets. I am troubled and afflicted, yet I do not turn aside, but I have not forgotten. But now I keep your word, but I will keep your precepts. What else did you find?
But I delight in your law.
We need to work on that, right? Delight in the law. What else?
I will meditate.
I will meditate on your word. What else?
Hope in your word.
I will hope in your word. I will not forget or forsake your statutes. But I will consider your testimonies. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. Ladies, this is a point I want you to listen to. God's word makes all the difference in finding comfort and the ability to walk in faith. Fully. God's word makes all the difference in finding comfort and in your ability to walk by faith fully. Do you want to walk more in faith and find comfort in trying circumstances? Have you been struggling? Like, okay, I got the word, still struggling. Ask for help. There is an older woman who is ready to share with you the comfort with which God has comforted her. Let God's word as well help you persevere with hope. That was a good point, with hope. So consider your trials, whether you think they're big in the grand scheme of life or you think, gosh, my trials are actually pretty small compared to some other people I know, but they're still your trials. It's exactly what God is using. So you may not have chronic pain every single day. You may not be in jail like Paul, waiting a beheading. But your trials are no less the trials that God has handpicked for you, that you need to learn how to walk faithfully through, righteously, faithfully. So, let's see. Point six. Or question six there said, to look at your six octets again and notice that although afflictions are much on the psalmist's mind, he repeatedly uses the word but to turn his thoughts to truth. Truth which he contemplates and expounds on for a time until thoughts of trouble return. They're back. And then when they do, the process begins again. Wait, turn my mind. What have we been calling that at Saving Grace for the last year? When we do that, preaching to yourself. That's right. Write that down. Put that down as a comforting truth. If you haven't heard that before, or if you forgot, Psalm 103 is the passage that Darren Roberts preached through for us to remind us how to preach to ourselves. I think it was 103. Remind me if I'm wrong. Preaching to yourself. You must practice it. Notice what he said. Revive me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Let your mercies come also to me according to your word. Be merciful to me according to your word. So if you are really struggling to find the comfort of God, you know you should have it. It's being elusive. Are you practicing preaching the word of God to yourself? Are you using the remedy, the medication, so to speak, for your struggle? In that box there, you were to write a hard circumstance you're facing. Did everyone do that? Are you being honest during your Bible study time? Okay, I'm going to challenge you again to share that. Make that what you share in your prayer time, your prayer group tonight. You might have to be bold. That was my page. I wasn't going to show anyone. Are you willing to share that and maybe find new comfort from your sisters sharing the word with you tonight? Share what you wrote down. And then did you write a but? What are some of the things you wrote?
But you are good and do good.
Is that what you wrote in there? In the box. You don't have to tell me your trial. Tell me, because
right
after that, you were supposed to write, record one or two of your own but statements as you turn your thoughts to the Lord. What's that?
But I hope in your word.
I trust you with all my heart.
I pray so.
But the Lord, he is God. His sovereignty rules over all, and he dwells with the contrite and lowly of spirit to revive them. Had to combine some verses there.
Were those all from 119?
Psalm 103 and Isaiah 57.
Wonderful. Anyone else?
I did my basic phrase that I learned over the years. God is good. God is wise. Yay. God is sovereign. Yay.
But God is
back to that in any situation.
I'm gonna write those down.
It's always true. So.
But God is good.
God is good. God is wise.
God is wise.
God is sovereign. Goes way back to women's conference. We went to
2012, 13,
something like that.
And I felt
20 years ago.
It feels like.
But it took a while to convince me about her trials.
That's helpful. One of the things I was thinking about was the reminder to myself, but God is sanctifying me. So he's at work. He's doing something. It's not purposeless. He's not a God without purpose. So whatever he's doing is for my good and for his glory, and there's a purpose to it. And most of the times he brings us trials that we really just can't wrap our minds around what the purpose might be. God, this doesn't make sense. So at the bottom of the page, what if comfort is not quick in coming? Then learn another lesson from the psalmist and resolve to persevere with hope according to his word. One of the songs we have sung together at Bible study is, I Will Wait for You. And that should be a reminder to wait and persevere with hope. So, let's see. I'm getting texts from my daughter. This is good. Yeah, let's look at page 47. We have a few more minutes. We often think of needing God's comfort in the great afflictions of life, such as the death of a loved one, a grave illness, or an unexpected accident. Also, there are less stressful, everyday reasons we need God's comfort. Well, the question was, are there? Do you agree that there are?
Yes.
Mamas with young children. Do, yeah. Marriage and children. Megan?
I would say the perception that you need to be prepared for the storm often helps us to bump it against the trial and prepare ourselves, right? Like the hurricane's coming and you go into the water and the battery and you board up the windows.
Great example. Yes.
God sovereignly brings pressure. We can respond in stress or faith. Stress is a choice. Pressure is what God brings, right? So
yeah.
Pressures that are little, often they take us by surprise. We didn't even know we had like an expectation until we don't get it. You know? I think we'll put that times like 20. Suddenly you're not as mature as you thought.
Yeah, I've heard Jerry Bragg say that. Stress is a worldly word, you know. The Lord brings us pressures. And I know in my kitchen, pressure makes good food. but Megan was talking about how when we know a storm is coming, we stock up on supplies and we get ready and we prepare. So it's been said, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into a trial. If you think my goal in life is smooth sailing, If there aren't trials in your life, you might need to talk to God about what is going on. Maybe you've been given over. There are trials, right? So you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into a trial. In other words, if you're not fighting the battle right now, you should be stocking up on batteries and getting the hurricane shutters out so that you're not surprised, right? The Bible says, isn't it in Peter? Why are you surprised at the fiery trial around you? Don't be surprised. He told us it was coming. He himself lived under pressure, no less for us. So are there any other things there on question A that you wrote down? What are some everyday reasons you might need God's comfort? Ladies, sisters of saving grace, tell us.
When someone else sins against you.
Someone else sin against you. Does anyone in your home ever sin against you? I mean, we're not really talking about the UPS man here. We're talking about our loved ones. Yeah. Is the pressure. We're in the home with them. What else?
When it seems like we keep repeating the same failure.
Yes. We need comfort because we're a little child still touching the outlet, right? Every time. God, when am I going to learn? And he says, I'm working on it. Keep waiting. Be comforted. This is good for you. Some of us, it takes a few extra, right? What else?
When God doesn't follow, when the righteous are unfairly punished.
Oh.
And I think of, it's the anniversary of when Tyndale was burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a man of God doing wonderful things.
That's right.
It seems unrighteous.
Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stake. And does anyone remember his last words?
No,
you can summarize. It was about. Do you remember, Emily?
No. God helped me. Something about standing in a place or something, was it?
Well, his prayer was for the king. Uh-huh. That
open
the king's eyes. Thank you.
Yeah.
But do you guys know?
Yeah, and I knew the King James.
He did. King James. That's right. Had the King James Bible written. Yes. Tyndale died. He has a very special place in heaven. And his prayer, God actually did answer. It was all part of his plan. And when those flames were coming, he could have been crying for himself. Instead, his mind was still on his goal. What were you saying, Linda? Any of you struggle with control? Anybody want to share any of that? Yep. No, God, this was my plan. This, you know, I would marry someone who was Prince Charming. We don't worry about what kind of princess we are. No, he's got to do these things. Wait, I was going to have perfect children. I was going to line them up on my mantle as trophies. Of course they were all going to be saved. What is going on? God, this is not my plan. Anything else? Okay. Our question B, are some of Scripture's comforts more helpful in daily life and others more helpful in times of great affliction? Or are the comforts of Scripture equally helpful in both circumstances? I know it says optional. You guys don't read that as optional, right? Just made some people feel bad.
I don't ever separate them, I don't think.
I think in my life, I don't face life and death circumstances. Not every day, anyway. Like David or Paul, you know. So there may be some that help more in those times of great affliction, but then, like, all Scripture can really help any time in any situation.
Mm-hmm. All Scripture is
God-breathed
and profitable for
teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness,
so that the man of God can be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Good job. I love hearing you guys. You really do know the verses. So yes, the truths of Scripture help us in small and large trials. What are some passages of Scripture that you go to find comforting? Let's share those with one another now as we wrap up. What are passages of Scripture, references that you find comforting, that you run to for comfort?
Psalm 23.
Amen.
Psalm 23. Very popular for comfort.
In Philippians, where it says the peace that surpasses
all comprehension.
Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing. Romans 8, 28, which we've already quoted tonight. He's not wasting anything. That is a good way of saying it. He's not wasting a moment of your life. You might be, but he's not.
He's numbered the hairs on your head.
Yes.
When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalm 56, 3.
Good. It's a command to yourself, right?
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Psalm 84:11, she said. No good thing does he withhold. Which reminds us that since I have this trial, it must be good. It's another reminder. Psalm 46 is my favorite psalm. Growing up in California, you know, everyone jokes about it, the earthquake knocking California into the ocean. Yeah. So Psalm 46, the oceans tremble, and the mountains quake and fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam. I can picture this. Not that it actually happened, but you can picture it. And then God says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted, because God is good and does good. We can count on that. Any other last references you'd like to encourage your sisters with? I'm sorry, which book?
1 Samuel 12. 22 and 24. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it is pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, and consider what great things he's done for you.
Amen. You know, that verse reminds us, is it enough to just believe? No. Obedience and walking by faith is the Christian life. It's not just, I had this moment, and now I'm good. I got my ticket. Now I'm going to go do what I want. Now we'll get to Romans 6 on a Sunday morning in a couple of years. But may it never be that we would go on sinning so that grace may increase. My favorite verse I listed here, 2 Chronicles 16:9.
Hey, that's what I was looking for.
Wow. Must have known you for a while. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. That has long been my favorite verse, because I want his eyes to find me. Because of the great thing that the Lord has done for you, may he look upon you and say, this is one that I will strongly support. So today we started talking about some trivia about comfort in the Word of God. But the truths we've talked about today are far from trivial. Far from trivial. We do live in a fallen world. And I know many of you feel like the last few years have proven that more than even other years. But every generation has an event, right? Every generation goes through something that seems more fallen and wicked than others. But we live in a world full of trials, afflictions, disappointments, and trouble since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. Yet God does not leave us without comfort. We have the Scriptures, which are full of comforting truths and promises, and even more than that, we have God himself, who is the Father of all comfort. So in all of life's afflictions, ladies, find hope and remember that God is good and does good. I pray that encourages you to seek comfort in the Scripture, in one another, that you have your emergency measures in place and your comforting truths to preach to yourself, to preach to yourself. I'm going to pray and then just give a little direction. Let's pray together. Father of all comfort, you are good and you do good. Lord, help us to trust that the worst trial in our life is still meant for good, that the little daily trials that add up and sometimes topple us, Lord God, are for our good. Father, you command us to count these trials as joy, knowing that the testing of our faith will produce endurance. God, endurance, which you showed a perfect example of on the cross. Lord God, may we constantly take our minds back to this truth. May we not be swallowed up in fear and anxiety and hopelessness. May we not forget your word. May we cling to your statutes. May we love your commandments. May we remind ourselves and remember your law. May we think of the examples and testimonies of our sisters and brothers around us at Saving Grace. May we observe all the good that you are doing and know that we do know the end of the story. And we have your promises that you are at work and that you will comfort us and that you will be what we can depend on to endure any trial that comes our way, Lord God, that you won't give us more than we can handle because you are handling it. So may you be glorified and honored, Lord God, that after tonight, we put another brick in the wall of obeying you better, honoring you more, trusting you so completely, Lord God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.